I don't care what they say.
Right, and it'll cover.
Councilman Sheldon, Smiley, Bell, Collins, Weiner, Cartier, and co-chair Retta, and my aide Valerie will be taking the notes. Entertain your motion on the minutes.
Motion approved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Just because of time here, I am going to make a motion to let's go out of order and consider the resolution for the plan for the District 3 first. Can I have a second?
Second.
All right, then. Could I have the applicant come forward now?
Thank you, Councilman.
And Councilman, would you like to say anything and preface the opening of the remarks?
Sure. This has been before us a couple of times for a variety of different things, and certainly Sean is here representing the applicant and is willing to go through any questions or give a short presentation. I don't anticipate that there should be any problems. This has been vetted through the community multiple times. It started with GATA. There was a focus group. Obviously, some glitches along the way. All of those things have seemed to have been worked out as we worked through the process, some of them being county issues, some of them being state issues. But if, Sean, you would just do a short presentation, and then we'll take questions.
Certainly.
Okay.
Thank you, Councilwoman Kilpatrick. Good afternoon, council members. Thank you for having this matter put on the agenda for today. It was something that I think both the department and the applicant were working hard to get before you before the frost sets in, which is always important when you want to build in Newcastle County. The project, as some of you may recall, is located off of Old Lancaster Pike in the Hocessin area. It's about 12 and a half acres of land. It's located essentially around an existing community called Charter Oaks. Over the past 2 years, we have worked very closely with the folks in Charter Oaks. In fact, they have a representative here today that will also be at tonight's hearing, on community concerns, design, landscaping. The cul-de-sac obviously was an issue that we worked through with council's help, and also some state issues, which I think we resolved most of them with the one exception, but we certainly all tried our best, including Councilwoman Kilpatrick on an issue regarding sidewalks that we just couldn't quite get Del Lotto on board with. But I think 90% of everything else that related to the state we did get resolved in a favorable way for the community. Again, 12 and a half acres. This was rezoned from S to ST by County Council about a year ago. The overall density is about 3.8 units per acre. There are 46 units proposed on this plan, mostly towns. We have single family lots here facing the single families in Charter Oaks, and there are some twins on either end of the plan that essentially act as sort of almost like bookshelves, if you will, to the townhomes. There's an historic home that's being preserved in the center. There's approximately 42% open space guaranteed on this plan as part of the rezoning. And there are a set of private deed restrictions that we worked through with the community over the past 2 years that I'm happy to share with any council members who may be interested in them and seeing them. But I think overall it's been a positive process with the community, with a lot of hard work, a lot of rolling up the sleeves and getting to specific issues that were of concern and addressing them as best we could.
Okay. Thank you, Sean. And
thank you.
Ultimately, you're here. Your final record plan approval. You've already been through the rezoning process, and this is will be heard as a resolution.
That is correct.
And I understand Councilwoman Kilpatrick will not be here tonight, and Councilman Hollins will be leading the charge today.
Correct.
Questions from members of council. Councilman Cartier.
Yes. Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to, you know, applaud the developer and the professionals associated with the plan for working closely with the community. I think it's really important when you have an area that is like Charter Oaks, it's been built for quite some time, we have an infill project going on, that there is a cooperation, a willingness to listen to the community in terms of their concerns. So I'm really glad to see that has gone on, along with the district council person, I'm sure, involved in that. Can you tell us a little bit about the historic property you're going to save? That's just another bonus in my mind to see that go on. Tell us a little bit about that, where it's located. And
certainly. The historic house is centrally located on this plan. It is an old farmhouse from way back when. It actually was functioning in the past as a twin. It actually had been broken into two units, even though it's one large farmhouse, and it had been functioning that way. It's been vacant for well over, I don't want to get quoted on that. For many years, let's say that. I'm not sure exactly how many, but for many years, my client, who's here today, Drew Catamult, and his partners are, as part of the private deed restrictions, going to restore that and return it to a twin function, if you will. So it will mirror how it's been used historically over many decades prior to it being abandoned.
Is that a frame-built structure, or is it an actual masonry stone?
It's masonry. But I think there's an addition or two that may have some timber. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great to see the value add, taking a historical building and integrating it into the new development, and I wish we had a lot more of this going on in the county, because I think in the end, what happens is the project has a lot more character and appeal.
And Councilman, I think this is, there's other examples that other folks have certainly done, but I think this is a good example of where working with the community, because we were able to do some things here with density, we were able to have some additional dollars to put into preserving this home that otherwise, had it been developed under its base zoning, there would not have been sufficient monies to do, given the purchase price. And also significantly more landscaping than would otherwise be required that we were able to do here for the community, that but for the working group, I don't think we would have ever seen. So it's not perfect, but it's certainly a lot better, I think, in terms of open space preservation and aesthetics than it would have been had it been developed under its base zoning.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick, then Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. Just as further response to Councilman Cartier's interest in historic homes, I think at this point we are probably up to 8 or 9 historic homes that have been saved in communities that have come into the greater Hokesson area. Just about everyone that has been built in the last 10, 15 years has had some sort of historic home on the property, and all of them have been saved.
Great.
Councilman Weiner.
Sean, would you hold the plan up and outline for me, if you would, with your highlighter, where the sidewalks and pathways are, both internally and externally?
Sure. On Stonehouse Way, which is the new road being constructed as a function of this project, you will have sidewalks, and Mr. Ziegler, correct me if I misspeak on this, but it's my understanding on both sides of the road.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there is also on the plan a connection into the existing road on King's Grant Road. Further, there are sidewalks along these new lots that are facing King's Grant Road, these seven lots here. They were flipped externally to match the character of the existing community rather than internally. Now, I will just share with you briefly, because it may come up tonight or even at this meeting, there was some disappointment, I think is the nicest way I can put it, that DelDOT was requiring sidewalks along these homes. And that's because, in this community, because of its age, it was developed at a time where you could do sidewalks on just one side of the road. So this community currently has sidewalks only on the far side that wrap around. Under DelDOT's policies and their current code, you have to have dual sidewalks now, so they're being added. So that was that one thing I had mentioned. I think we got 90% of the way there with DelDOT. but they insisted on the dual sidewalks.
On Old Lancaster Pike, is there a sidewalk?
There is.
Yes.
And is there bus service on Old Lancaster Pike?
That I don't know off the top of my head, Councilman. I can find that out before.
There's
it comes within about three blocks.
So yeah. Please say your record. Name for the record.
Yeah, I just take your name for the record.
Richard De Felice, I'm the president of Civic Association Charter.
And Councilman Weiner, are you finished?
Yes, thank
Councilwoman
you.
Councilwoman Kirkpatrick.
Just to go back to that, there's bus service that goes through the Hokesson area at the fire hall, which is a couple blocks down from this entrance. There's a sidewalk that goes outside of this development to both the right and the left. The one going into Hokesson, you can go all the way down into all of the parks via sidewalk and pathway. Going to the right as you're coming out of this development, there's a sidewalk that goes down to the next developed community.
I'm very pleased as well to see that interconnectivity between the two communities at the end of the cul-de-sac.
Additional questions? Councilman Hollins and Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you have an idea the selling price of these homes, the attached as well as the detached?
Approximately, Councilman. There is a, let me just preface it so I don't mislead anybody. There is a contract that my client has negotiated with Ryan Homes. It has not been executed yet. We anticipate it being executed very shortly. If that is executed as we anticipate, for the single families, the estimate, because we don't represent Ryan, but the estimate is over $500,000 for the single families. And for the towns, the estimate would be, I would say, given the market in that area that I've seen, Traditions, for example, in the high twos, low threes. And for the twins, probably around 50,000 plus above that for that base price for the twins. So single family detached, $500,000 plus estimate. The towns, probably 275, 325 plus. And for the twins, which are on the ends of Stonehouse Way, you're probably looking in the high threes.
So it's safe to say that the estimate would be from around $275,000 to
$500,000. Plus, yes, sir.
Right. From $275,000 to $500,000 plus, yes. In the same basic development.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Certainly.
Let the record reflect Councilman Powers and join us. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to make comment, you know, when you have an infill project, certainly, you know, we look at something like this. I think, from my perspective, the spirit of cooperation between the applicant, the community, when you have the president of the Civic Association here, when you have concessions made that the properties, in order to meet the characteristics of the neighboring community on Kings Grant Road, be positioned so they're facing outward towards the other homes. To have infrastructure in place, I just think this is the way good development should be. And it speaks well for the applicant, the developer itself, as far as what we're seeing here. And, you know, there's been, from what I hear and what I see, I'm very pleased with the spirit of cooperation, and that's the way it should be.
Additional questions, member of council? Anybody from the public? Well, Sean, definitely your clients are lucky to have you as their attorney. You definitely go above and beyond and do your due diligence when you come before us with your applications. You never seem to do just the bare minimum, and we do thank you for that.
Thank you, Council.
Looks like we're headed towards you'll be on the agenda for tonight, and look forward to seeing you a little later.
Thank you. Thank you again for putting this on.
All right, we're back in regular business here. Next item. Our first item on the agenda was the ordinance 14117. This was under the sponsorship of myself, so far Councilman Cartier, Diller, and Kilpatrick, and Mr. Sheldon too.
Also, Council Bullock did announce, send us a notification that he was not going to be able to attend any of the meetings today, so we're going to announce that at the beginning. Just a point of order on this ordinance, we're going to be looking to entertain questions, comments, and we're going to be opening it up to the public. This will be tabled tonight in order to work on it just a little bit further and try to see if we can get a little better working model to the agenda for a vote very soon. Councilman Cartier.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this ordinance under consideration for vacant properties ranks in order of importance as one of the most important things we're addressing in terms of land use in this county. In the wake of the Great Recession, I think we've got lingering issues with vacant properties, and it doesn't only include residential properties, includes commercial and office properties. And I think this is something that we've needed to address for a long time. And I look forward to, you know, lengthy deliberation to make sure that we craft this and hit it on the nail on the head so we can really have an effective piece of legislation that will disincentivize vacancy, also identify in a general sense the amount of vacancy that is present in the commercial, office, and residential properties in the county. And you know, I'm glad we're bringing it forward to look at it. I guess to start off, one of the concerns that I have, and I know from personal experience, working with an estate situation where we have a prolonged period of a estate under probation, you know, being probated, liquidating associated property within the state. And I can tell you that I personally went through this with two houses, and I had a lengthy period of vacancy, and I was the executor, and I moved with all due speed, but it was a prolonged period of vacancy due to the death of a close friend of mine. So I think that's something we need to think about when we're calibrating in this ordinance, maybe with some type of waiver for that situation, just to bounce that off of you, Mr. Chairman.
Yep, exactly. Councilman Smiley?
Yeah, I'm just going to ask, because we've had discussions on this numerous times before, if while you're revisiting this, maybe you can come up with it or whatever, a way to require within a time frame for the appropriate owners to register the property. I mean, the bottom line is with this, you know, we could be fining people who they're listed as the owner, but they don't own the house. You know, so I've said that time and time again. When it goes through the sheriff's sale, the bank buys it back, whatever, we need a time frame that I'm told that falls beyond us, but something for you to look at as you go, which we've discussed before, is making sure we have the right people. It doesn't do any good to hold people's feet to the fire to register a property that they no longer even have. So take a look at that. I'd appreciate it.
Gotcha. Additional questions? I know Councilman Sheldon funneled some in, and we got them.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Yeah, I just want to say that for the first time, maybe only a couple, the Civic League is 99% behind us. I put the president, excuse me, not him, but with Councilman Cartier there to notify that they are in total agreement. And basically, that was the two questions. What was just said by Mr. Smiley and Mr. Cartier was the trust. And the recorder of deeds register will type of deal, if we can get them in the room to see why the cases are taking so long, you know, to resolve. And I haven't had to deal with this. Hopefully, I don't. But those are the two things. I think after that, we're ready. That's the only two questions they really had of substance that I couldn't answer. So. Thank you.
We've had a couple.
Sorry.
Yeah, council to council. Yes.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Council Lynn. I was just going to give a little bit of background on this. This has been in the works by the request of a number of people here for a year and a half. It's received input from a variety of attorneys to include the Office of Law It originally was based on a conglomeration of best practices around the United States. It includes the situations that you spoke about. A corporation or its principals have to register as well. Any equitable owner, that would include a corporation or a bank. They all have to have put their name on this. The standard time around the country is 1 year. There are exceptions for nonprofits. A nonprofit can have up to 2 years with permission and another 90-day extension. In the instance of an executor, such as Mr. Cartier spoke about, there is an opportunity to extend that period of time so long as it is under active consideration for sale. We have heard some comments from the home builders that they should, but there is a definition of occupied, which means they're conducting a business in the building. If there's a model home and the people are selling out of the model home, arguably, in my opinion, that would be a business. The question becomes, and the question that the courts have considered, is do you say to an individual owner of a home, no, it's not okay for you to have a home on the market for a year and a half, or as the extension is, but it's fine for someone else. You're talking about equal protection of the laws. You also are talking about court cases throughout the United States. This is in flux right now. Chicago has knocked out some in the foreclosure context. That does not bind us here in Delaware. What the Office of Law was interested in is that we follow much of what was in the city, is in the City of Wilmington vacant registration property code, and that is because it has been upheld by the courts of the state of Delaware. So there has to be a cutoff point. If people believe it's okay to have a vacant home in a neighborhood for 5 years, that's a policy question. But the problems that are created by these vacant homes are that the demand on county services are phenomenal. The police are there. Vermin are there. There are vagrants. People are running in. There are weed problems. There is an immense problem throughout the United States with these vacant homes, and the vacant homes are happening more and more frequently. I am not arguing for or against the policy. I am going to tell you this is a very tight line in the judicial system, and that favoring or disfavoring one group of people is very unpopular with the courts, and I just wanted to throw that out there. And the one other thing, the peninsula I'm going to bring up in Sussex County, there is an example of a developer who did not sell the homes. You've all read in the paper that the people who did buy homes in that neighborhood had to pay all the condo fees. So although it's wonderful to say there might have been more of an incentive, or at least they so asserted, if the current owners had to pay a fine and had more of an incentive to sell that to another developer. So I just wanted to give you some background. This is not an easy legal document. It's very difficult because the courts are in flux right now. But at some point, just like every other law, a body must determine if they're going to pass the law and continue to fix it like we fix every other law that we have passed. So that's just the background.
I'll take a question or two and then we're up.
No, I just want to make a quick observation. We spoke about new developments and running the office out. I mean, I know one community that was under development, they were building, they had two models. So they had both of the models up. One was used as the office. The other one was not used. There was no business being conducted. Now, I'm sure they could have put a desk in it to play games or whatever, but they had two models. So one was used as an office, but they were both sample homes. Now it's 8 years, actually, since the community was started, and these were up. And now they've reached a point of turnover, and they're both on the market. But so that's just something to think about there.
Jim, why don't you give us a few comments on your perspective? I know me and you have had some pretty extensive conversations, and given the fact that you had the anesthesiologist cut your anesthesia off so you could make the meeting here today. Jim was under a little bit of localized surgery this morning, but he wanted to be here today.
I had spoke to the general manager earlier today, and she was hopeful she would make it in time for here, but had another meeting and was trying to do the whole get out of one, get in the car, get to here. So I feel comfortable at least speaking on her behalf a little bit too. So from a code enforcement standpoint, this is certainly another tool that would help us. We can implement it fairly easily in that we can create the database, we can do the billings, we can keep track of the vacants and make sure this is implemented. Some of the concerns we have, and they kind of tag team with the department's concerns just in general, is whenever you're implementing a new fee, you just want to make sure that you're really having the intended consequences with that fee, and it's going to reach the right person. For example, the way the billing is in the ordinance, it talks about just a one-time-a-year billing, November 1st. My first question would be, well, what happens if the property is owned by one individual and it's vacant from January 1st through the end of October, and then all of a sudden it's occupied? That person doesn't pay any fees for that entire year, but someone else could, and I saw there was a reset, so the next person wouldn't be held accountable, but there may be loopholes. And another one in there would be that we'd want to tighten up the definition of occupied, in that some of the great value of this ordinance will be, as Councilman Cartier said, with your non-residential properties, getting those to be further developed or rehab. But there seems to be a lot of focus in the ordinance on how you would prove that you're actually occupying it without actually putting a lot of emphasis on having a continued presence there. So you could get mail delivered there, you could have your business address there. So that would just be tightening up the definition. But the fee itself, the one thing, and I've kind of spoken on this in the past when we talked about a vacant property ordinance, and this is the one we'll want to make sure we really want to get settled, is there are a number of individuals, as Councilman Cartier also alluded to, that might be carrying multiple homes, or for one reason or another, and a probate is a complicated process, so you could have a house that there. You don't really want to make the people who have a vacant home but are maintaining it paying and they're very poor students of land. So you want to make sure you're not punishing the people that just have a vacant unit but do what they're supposed to do. They cut the grass, they have a grass cutting service, they check on the house, they're present there, they're living there, renting out, they have a business or a historic home that's for sale forever, and they're just not doing anything with it, and it's running down, getting run down, and dilapidated. So that's something you can put a little bit of all this into the system to make sure that you will get the fees assessed to the people who are causing it, increase code enforcement services.
And Council Person had a comment, and then I know somebody from the public would come up with it. Then I'll wrap it, because this will be back this.
Yeah.
So what I'll have everybody do is send the comments to me or Valerie, and then before I'm going to put them in the room.
Yeah, Carl. Good morning, Council. One thing that I would want to reiterate is that the time frame isn't subjective. It is. And if you get, the minute you start getting into whether you think it looks good or it doesn't, I think we're in legal trouble. The other point that I wanted to make is there are code provisions for code of obviously that you well know. If there's high grass and weeds, if the windows are knocked out, if there are other problems with the visual appeal of the home, there are already mechanisms in place. I am simply going to say that I have read the court cases, and whoever believes that it's appropriate to pick and choose who has to follow this law is probably going to end up in court.
Right. Yeah, that was another question I had when I was reading it was, we have the same effects for all the groups. Now this is my personal view, is the nonprofits get a really long length of time versus the nonprofits that don't. And there might be good public policy reasons for that. And that's, you know, what this body wants to wrestle with. You know, another one may be, should there be provision in there to allow for some of these fees to be waived should a property go through a foreclosure process or a county tax petition process or redevelopment for moderately priced dwelling units or some other government program that we're trying to advance. You know, should we build something in that would allow the department to waive fees for that purpose?
So I think what we could do probably is we'll make an appointment and come over and sit down with Jim because we're already into the next meeting and I don't want to go too much longer. But Co-Chair Reddy, you had something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I agree with what our counselor said about basically integrating something that we already have in place and what we want to do. I mean, it was brought up about maybe given a length of time for a person who's in probate for a house. That was being, that I believe the chairman wrote it down to consider that, to put into the ordinance and to look at it. But the other is too, is just homes that are there, period. I mean, I got homes in my district, everybody has homes in their district that are having problems with. And it's building up in the code dollars and cents that we're putting out. That's why we have to put, we just put another $200,000 in, because we're putting more money out and we're not getting anything back. And that's part of the reasoning of this ordinance.
Sounds like sleep under the stars.
Okay.
yeah.
Council.
I'm sorry, I'll just make this very, very brief. I would respectfully suggest that if someone has some ideas to amend this code, that they don't just come up with the language, that they come up with the court cases that support it. Because I can write any language I feel like, but if it's not legal, it doesn't help anything.
I'll be quick. Councilman Powers?
I mean, just looking at it real quick and what has been said, I understand when you have a problem and I have problems, but I have a lot of people that go away for 6 months a year to maintain the house. And we're not getting calls on them at all. But I have a whole, what's that?
That's not vacant.
It's not vacant.
But if somebody did vandalize
it. Not according to the legal definition.
No.
As you said, I don't want to come back and causing a problem for something else just because the neighbor doesn't like the neighbor.
I would too. And again, you know, we'll go ahead and wrap it up for the council comments because this will be back. We're going to bring it back to another land use committee. We're going to go into a public comment period between now and then and look for additional comments if we get them. Look to bring them back in, filter it, and we'll be back and discuss it fully and give it a time. I know somebody from the public had come to maybe make a couple comments or.
Kevin Whitaker, President of Home Builders Association. All of our concerns have sort of been discussed, model homes, spec houses, some of the historic homes obviously sit a long time. So it's been discussed and we'll offer some comments in the future, but also appreciate council to council's points that it's a tough balance for the legality of it. So we don't want to carve out for us, it's not legal. We're going to be challenged in the future, but you know our concerns.
And please, you know, send them to us, that way we can make sure everybody gets
we can keep it simple. That right.
Anything additional? Because we're already new. Okay. Public comment. Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
All right.
Can we get started in the next 7 minutes? About quarter after. We're about 15 minutes late for community service.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear about it. Don't.